this walking miracle sitting in the back here. God bless you, Dana. Transformed by grace means we get to actually walk in that new life. Would you join me in Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7, just to begin with? We're in the book of Colossians. As you're turning there, if you have a Bible, you're turning there. If you're on a screen, great. If you want a Bible app that has the Bible on it, and you want a church app that has the Bible on it, you could scan that QR code in front of you. Please do that. But in Colossians, this is a small church in this small little area. It's a dying city, and it has this church that knows Jesus and believes Jesus. And they had some people coming in trying to say, you cannot just say, I want Jesus and be saved and believe. You've got to do this and this and that. And it was all these different messed up things. And he's writing to this church, this guy Paul is writing to this church that he's never been to, but he's saying, look, I struggle for you. I want good for you. I want you to remember the good news, the gospel, that you, while you were lost in sin, were God's attention and affection. He gave his son for you. His son died and paid the debt for you. And if you believe, then you're saved, and then you actually walk it out. So you repent and you turn from death to life, from dark to light, and it's good for you. And he's like, stick with this. Stay with this. We need that reminder today, and you're getting it this very morning. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. This is 2,000 plus years old, and it's for you and I also. Therefore, now that therefore is there for a reason. I don't want people to delude you, Paul said. I don't want people to try to talk you into some other kind of salvation that isn't salvation at all. There's a mystery, but the mystery has been solved. Can somebody, church, tell me what the mystery is? Jesus, good. Ben's here. Come on, attaboy. Right, the mystery is Jesus. And I want you to be in good order and have firm faith. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. So walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Goodness gracious, I have to just geek out for a second. I heard the other day that you either feel buried or you've been planted. Think through that for a second. Buried or planted, it really is a matter of perspective. But if you're planted and if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you've submitted to Jesus Christ, have you received him like this says? I mean, there's been debate from people like, I don't think you received Jesus. I'm like, but it says so in the Bible. You receive him. You admit that you need him. Your weakness, your death, your eyes were opened by his grace. Check out Ephesians 2. And he says, you're made alive. Yes, I want Jesus. I receive what he's given me. So walk in him. Mama, I won't land on you. I promise. I'd much rather break my neck than yours. So, but heads up. I'll come over here for a minute. But I've got so much, like, I'm going to be back over there in a second. But here's what's up. You're planted, you're rooted, you're built up, and you're thankful. Oh, gosh. Somebody, think through this for a second. Does God make things grow? We just met the mission board, met with a dear saint. Oh, my goodness. Elna. From Zimbabwe. What an amazing woman of faith. Her husband, Ethiel, died 7 years ago. And she's like, the foundation was laid. I'm supposed to be in this ministry. God said, you are weaned off of the milk. It's time to go. And she kept going, and she's still going. And she's in a place where there's so much drought. And they're trying to get water, and they're trying to get food for people, and they just keep believing that the one who planted them and rooted them and building them up is good, and so they thank him, and they keep telling the good news. Water is not our problem around here. But But we have some problems around here. Be established in Jesus and be thankful. Because will you, for just a minute, thank God for him loving you, saving you? And if you're not saved and you don't think you need to be saved, then you could just say nothing and God still loves you. But if you're saved, if you know that he's set you free, that he's rooted you, that he's built you up, be thankful. Anybody want to thank God today? Go ahead. There's Thanksgiving for this coming up. That's later in the month. No, it's every day. So let's go back to Colossians 2. So he's like, look, you receive Christ, walk in him, you're built and rooted and built up in him, established in your faith. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. I only have a little bit of time to break these down for you, but so really quick, and if you don't mind going back to the beginning of Colossians 2:8 for me. See to it that no one takes you captive. This is one of three warnings that he gives in what we're about to read. I'll give you the other two, and I'll read the other two for you later, but the three warnings are to be vigilant against people trying to trap you or take you captive, people trying to judge you, and people trying to disqualify you. You know what? Nobody can make you feel inferior without your permission. Nobody can make you feel inferior without your permission. I've also heard it said like this: it's not what people call you, it's what you answer to. And then finally, Geno Smith, quarterback for the Seahawks. He said, people wrote me off. I ain't right back though. What are you going to do with people trying to write you off? What are you going to do with people trying to trap you? What are you going to do with people trying to judge you? What are you going to do with people trying to disqualify you? If they're trying to correct you, don't get it twisted. That's not disqualifying. That's not judging. That's not trying to trap you. They're trying to point you to freedom. But if people are like, you're not saved because you don't do this, 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 and that. You believe in Jesus. You want Jesus. You're struggling, but you're following Jesus. Then be free. But there's people that are trying to trap us with philosophies that sound pretty good. I don't know if you know philosophy. If you break that word down, philo, right, is love. It's love of wisdom. There's good wisdom out there. But there's also some really jacked up wisdom that sounds pretty good. You know why? Because it appeals to what we want. It appeals to what tickles our ears, as Paul says in another book of the Bible. It appeals to the fact that we like to be in control. This empty deceit is promising all kinds of stuff and delivering nothing. Election season, anybody? Human tradition is just that. No, we don't do it like that. And if you don't do it like we do it, then you're not saved. You're not really a Christian. There's so many, and I don't have a ton of time to break this down, but there's so many things. There are denominations that say, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. If you don't get baptized the second or as close as possible to when you have confessed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're not saved. There's people that say, if you take communion like we just did, you're not saved. There's no communion taking that makes you saved. It shows that you are. Obedience is a good thing. Don't let me talk you out of following God today. But this four words here, I want to really focus in on it. And actually, I should probably give you a little word on this. The elemental spirits of the world. That is a weird statement. And he says it again later on. It's elemental spirits, doctrines, principles. Listen, I wrote down some things. These are basic worldly principles, like money, power, prestige, hard work. All as saviors. And none of them work. This is a demonic doctrine like we looked at in 1 Timothy 4. Deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, he says. And here's why I call all these things that we just listed, because Paul does, and why I agree with it and why I call it demonic is because it's about salvation somewhere other than Jesus. And that doesn't work, friends. It doesn't work. It never will. Salvation is found only in Jesus. Check out John 14:6. He's the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Keep it real. Let's go to Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus is getting ready to be beamed up like Scotty. If you don't know what that reference is, you're young. There's no shame in being young, but it's a Star Trek reference, and I don't even really like Star Trek, but sorry, I just lost half of you. All right. Matthew 28:19-20. Like I said before, Jesus is about to be raised up, literally in front of all of them, up into heaven. And he says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Please, don't hear me say baptism isn't important. I'm just telling you it isn't salvific. That doesn't mean you don't do it. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. He commanded that we do. And then teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. He's saying right here, don't give in to all of these other things. Don't turn from fresh water that's life only in Jesus Christ and what he's taught to drinking out of a toilet. Or worse, quit turning from life to death. We get saved, we admit that we need Jesus, and then we start saying, but I got to do this, and 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 I got to do this. For what? For salvation? To keep saved? You can do all of these things to glorify God, and we should do things to glorify God. But if we think we're going to get saved outside of Jesus, even if it's by obeying Jesus we get saved, then we didn't need a Savior. We just need to be good little girls and boys. We just got to get it together. Get your poop in a group and everything will be just fine. You guys, we tend to rely on what we can control rather than what the Maker and Savior says is life. And it's him that transforms. So here's the combo that you need for life eternal. Christ and you. Do you need you? You already got you, whether you like you or not. What you need is Jesus. And he's here for it. He wants you. He died for you. He gave his life for you. Yeah, but what about my mom and dad? Yeah, but what about my grandparents? Yeah, but what about this world? Yeah, what about those people? And what about what happened to me? All the things. Those are probably horrendous things. And I believe it. I got my own story. But Christ, he didn't do any of that. He actually came to set you free. He came to flip that script. He came to take what was nasty and turn it into fertilizer. Oh my goodness, this is a God who is not like how you and I would make a God to be. Good news. You cannot make God who he is. He already is and already was and already will be. And that's so good. Let's go back to Colossians 2. For in him, which this is the third in him, there's six in hims, there's three with hims that are all very similar. And so if you're a geek like me, like you like to just like, oh my goodness, what does this mean? Look it up. Look at the in hims in there. And what does it mean to be in him and with him? And what do you get? And what's in him? so much. Ephesians is like this too. But for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Some of you literally just heard static just now. You're like, what? In Jesus, you know God. The fullness of God dwells in Jesus bodily. So when people are like, Jesus isn't God, another tradition of man, by the way. Yeah, he is. He said it so many different times. He said it all kinds of times after he died and rose from the dead. Two of the books in the New Testament were written by brothers of his, half-brothers, because they don't have the same dad. But these half-brothers of him who mocked him and thought he was out of his mind when he was alive, saw that he got killed, saw that he rose from the dead, and now they believe him. Dana, 23 chances, right? How great is that? 2300 for me and for some of you today. Come on now, all right. But the reality is, he has absolutely shown himself to be Savior, to be Lord. And so in him, you see God. And you have been filled in him, verse 10, who is the head of all rule and authority. Nobody can tell you something apart from what Christ said and be right. One more time for the people in the back. Nobody can tell you something apart from Jesus and be right. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Look, there's some young people in here. Moms, dads, let me just say, I'm going to make it as clear as possible without freaking any of your kids out. Circumcision was a mark on the body from God for his chosen people, the Jews. This was the male genitalia being trimmed back. Very intimate. Very important. It was a daily reminder, you're mine. And yet, this is saying that circumcision was nothing compared to the circumcision of Christ. That he would make you and I new. It wasn't the hands of man that could trim back the excess. It is Jesus alone. Now, he had man hands, but the truth is, he's doing this in the Spirit. And listen, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead, like we just sang. And that's totally why that song's been in my head all week. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, as Christina led us in prayer, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. You and I could not be perfect. Anybody say ever, nobody's perfect. Six of us? Come on now. Have you never said that phrase, nobody's perfect? Have you ever used it as an excuse? I know I have. Okay, now we got a few more heads, and I was, all right, yes. I love this too. Like young people, no offense, ladies, but here's the thing, and men. They'll say, we're just kids. You know when you say you're just kids? When responsibility's on the table. I get it. I know it. I've been there. I've said that to my mom. I'm 54. She's not. She's like, but mom, I'm your kid. She's like, no, you are not a baby anymore. I'm like, but I act like one sometimes. Kathy, easy. Okay. Everybody already knows. That's fair. That's fair. I stepped in it. It's my fault. Wipe it right off. Listen, friends. We are not able to save ourselves. We owed everything. We are not perfect. Jesus is. He He took that sin debt and nailed it to the cross. Said, I'll pay for it. All you have to do, okay, this is, you're not earning salvation, you're receiving it. You acknowledge that. You and I believe that. We confess and we repent. I must keep going. He canceled this. He set it aside, nailing it to the cross. Verse 15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities. This is demonic stuff that's saying, yeah, but they owe, and we do. And if we don't follow Jesus, right? Excuse me. If you don't accept Jesus, receive Jesus, acknowledge Jesus, you and I will be rightfully separated forever from God. And he didn't want that. So you have to believe, and he disarmed these rulers and these authorities, and he put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Jesus. If you don't remember, we had a 25-week series on the book of Romans. Does anybody remember what it was called? I'm just curious. 25 weeks. That's the power of my amazing teaching. That's a great guess, and it's absolutely wrong, but I appreciate you. I appreciate you. What's that? That's right. Love you. Does that feel pretty good, teacher? How do you like that on the other shoe? Like, you ask these questions, and they're like so dead. I know exactly what it is.
No, you don't.
Okay, I love you, though. Look, set apart. We're set apart. Romans 7:4 says this as far as being set apart. Likewise, my brothers and sisters, you also have died to the law. You can't keep any rules to be saved because you can't keep them all. You've died to the law through the body of Christ. Jesus can and did keep all of the law so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead in order that we may bear fruit for God. Here's what's up. You and I have been set free in Jesus Christ from trying to keep the law to now we just trust him, love him, believe him, and we bear fruit. You will bear fruit if you are saved. Are you going to lose your way? Yeah. Are you going to stumble sometimes? Yeah. Are you going to struggle? Yeah. He's writing this to people that are stumbling and struggling because he's like, look, you got to get through it. You got to remember. And so remember that we've been set apart by the grace of God, shaped by the gospel, transformed by grace. We are holy, holy in him. Let's finish this. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Can you just sit with me for a second in this? If you don't keep the Sabbath the way the Jews couldn't keep the Sabbath, then you're not a Christian? We're supposed to have a Sabbath. It's a commandment. Yeah, it is. Do you know that Jesus said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Anyone who comes to me has rest. He gives us that as a gift. You and I weren't made for the Sabbath. Ooh, the Sabbath, Jesus said, was made for us. This is a gift from God. Do you want that? Then receive it. Slow down. A double dog dare you to take 24 hours where you just chill. Some of you are like, could I get 72? That would be great. Yeah, you give it a shot. See what happens. It's called unemployment. But no, seriously, you guys, Sabbath, food, drink, all these things. If you are following Jesus and you won't do these things, you will do those. There's so many good things for us to turn from. But please don't think that salvation comes from you doing the right things. It comes from Jesus, and now you are called to do the right things. You're strengthened to do the right things. You live out the right things. You're bearing fruit. So don't let anybody pass judgment on you in these questions. Verse 17, these are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. All of these pointed out that you couldn't do it on your own, set apart. Jesus alone could do it. Trust him, believe him. He fulfills all of it. Fix your eyes on him. You find yourself doing all the things because you love him and you obey him. But you don't do them to be saved. You do them because you are. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism. That's like being totally set apart, totally something different, totally hurting yourself, totally just denying yourself. And that way God looks at you and goes, oh, he's holy. She's really great. Look at her. Don't let anybody do this. Insisting on asceticism, disqualifying you through the worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. And then not holding fast to the head. Hey, I've done all these things. Jesus, I've got it from here. Thanks so much. I'll do it now. You need Jesus as much today as you did the day you gave your life to him. Because from him, the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that's from God. If with Christ you died to these elemental spirits, these basic principles of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Referring to things that all perish as they're used. According to human precepts and teachings, why do you give in to all these things that never saved you in the first place? You guys have heard this before. I've said it before. Let's just do it. Just humor the old man one more time. All right, here we go. Money can't, but we're always willing to give it another chance. Sex is not going to give me an identity, but it makes me feel good about myself, so I'm going to give it a shot over and over again. Oh, look, you know what? If I tithe, then God will look at me and go, oh, what a good girl. I was a little not sure about her, but she gives 10% of her income, so come on home. You can't earn any of this, but you can receive it. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion. One of my fathers in the faith, Jan Hettinger, wrote a book called Follow Me. He said, tell me who leads your life, and I can tell you a bunch about who you are, even if that leader is you, which most of us prefer. Self-made religion means I can do the things, and then God owes me one. I can do the things, and I can feel good about myself. Asceticism and severity to the body. But they're of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. I have to finish with this one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you're in Jesus, you're a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You are transformed by grace, not by works. So walk in Jesus. You know when he's calling you to repent. You know when he's calling you to be thankful. You know when he's calling you to celebrate. You know it. People are like, oh man, I just don't even know how to understand the voice of God. I'm like, yeah, I have to call BS on that. That's bologna sandwich, in case you were wondering. Because we know how to ignore his voice. We know how to say no to God. You know how to hear him. He is saying salvation is found nowhere but him. And when you're saved, you live it out. You don't call other people, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. You've got to go to Crosswater. You've got to go to Cascade. You've got to go to Pursuit. You've got to be this. You've got to be that. You got to have Jesus as your Savior. You got to have Jesus as your Lord. You got to have Jesus as the one that teaches you. The one you follow is him. So how are you going to move towards him today? I got some notes. Put into daily practice repentance. Don't make stuff up. If you didn't do anything wrong, then you don't have to ask for forgiveness. But if you don't think you did anything wrong, you might want to have a conversation with the one. Right? Just like, Lord, show me. Do I even mean this? But some of you, you sit here today unsaved and unmoved, not by some emotional plea, but by the word of God. And so all I can do is pray that your eyes would be open, your ears would be open, your heart would be open, and one day you'll confess that Jesus is the Lord, not you. And that's really relieving, actually. And that you believe that he died for you, that you needed him to do that, and that he rose from the dead, and you have victory over all the enemies that could take you out. But some of you, you have gotten away from fellowship with other Christians. Come back. You've got away from worship. I mean, you're here today, so you're getting a little bit of fellowship, and a little bit of worship, but like daily, just talking to him, singing to him, celebrating him, praying to him. And as you give into his spirit and as you give into obedience, you actually get more and more power for your daily living. So what does that look like for you? And on the Live It Out, I got a little something extra for you. But here's a question that a man asked probably about 30 years ago. Is Christ the most important person, thing, leader in your life? Are you drawing on his spiritual power, or are you depending on some man-made religious substitute? Jesus, have your way in us. You remind me very clearly that it's you and you alone that gives us life. May we turn to you if we've turned away from you. May we stick with you if we've been thinking about bouncing and jumping ship. And may we, through this election season, celebrate you and your goodness no matter who gets elected. God, may we remember our brothers and sisters that are suffering so many injustices and pains and agonies, and not only pray for them, but help in whatever ways we can. And may we share your good news. May we be strong. May we be contagious. May we be courageous in our faith. And may we not look to other people to give us identity, but to you and you alone. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.